Well, it's good to be back with you. Welcome. If you're here with us visiting today, a special welcome to you. And it's good to be with you folks again. Last Sunday we were away, had some vacation, and I appreciate Brother Smith that was here sharing the Word of God and the work that God is doing in Cuba. I get those two places mixed up, and both those places are usually on my mind and in my prayers. But anyway, I appreciated his help and your prayers for us. We had a good vacation, didn't do a whole lot. We spent some time, 4 days or so, at the beach. And the beach was, the water was closed, so we were able to sneak in a little bit a couple of times, but anyway, they had signs up, stay out of the water, and so we still had lots of rest and relaxation and fun. So it was good. Appreciate your prayers. And we go away again, not this week, obviously, but next week for through the week. We'll be here on Sunday, but we'll be gone through the week. We're heading up to Mactaquac to jump on a houseboat with our family. And so looking forward to that. 5 days being on a boat with my family. And so pray for us that it'll be a good time. We've done it a few times now, and it is a lot of fun. And Mom and Dad are adventurers at heart. They can't seem to stop, and they always like to have us around. And so we don't mind going, and we're looking forward to that. So anyway, a couple of things just before we look at the Word this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, please. And I'm going to take my time, and what we're going to do, we're doing things just a little bit differently today. I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute, but before I get into the Word, a couple of things. We're going to pray here in a moment. Brent had mentioned youth group, and I appreciate your prayers for a youth program here, and Bethel, of course, has had lots of those over the years, and Jamie and I have had, actually, we sort of cut our teeth on the youth program here at this church. As you folks were molding us and patiently grooming us and using us and sending us out. And so it's a ministry that has been near dear to us for years, ever since, really. And in every place that the Lord has allowed us to minister, we've been involved in some kind of a youth program. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing, and we're looking forward to having a youth program starting this September. As a matter of fact, September the 12th. Chatted with different folks about a day. Didn't know if a weekday would be better or a Friday would be better. So we went between Tuesday and Friday. And Friday seems to be the day that's winning out. So Friday will be our youth group day. Now, it's going to be every second Friday. And we want to be careful not to sort of overdo it and then be overwhelmed by it. So we're going to start gingerly, and we want to do it right. So be in prayer for our youth program. It's ages 7 and up. And we don't know if we might what we're going to have for age groups, but we're just going to see what happens, and pray that the Lord would give us wisdom. Looking forward to seeing who we're going to have for older teenagers, and for younger children. But we just want to trust the Lord as we move forward and try to have something for the children that attend this church and for those that don't, so that they might someday in the days ahead. So September the 12th, it will be Friday night, the first youth group. It's going to start at 6:30. No, 6 o'clock, 6 to 8. Yes, 6 to 8 o'clock. I'm always bad with times. September the 12th, and then every second Friday throughout the year. So keep that in mind, and we'll readjust as the Lord leads. But for now, that's what we're looking at. If you have any other comments or thoughts, please let us know. And if you're interested in helping out, maybe say, I'll come and, lasso some children or whatever you need done there, or teach a lesson, or help out with games or snacks, you let us know. And we certainly know that Bethel is a church that likes to help out. And so we want to provide those opportunities. So just let me know if there's something you think you'd like to do or some way that you want to partner with that. But certainly be in prayer, and that's where we need you all for sure. Just be in prayer for the youth program as we move forward. I may as well mention also Grief Share. Brent mentioned that as well. Be in prayer for that. And I did receive another call just this week from somebody that is going to be coming. So it looks like the Lord is providing a group of individuals that are in need of this ministry. So be in prayer for our Grief Share program. Lots of information at the back of the church if you want some to take with you or to share with others. And then finally, the nursing home ministries that we represent here at Bethel Baptist Church, between many of us, has just been a real blessing. And different folks have asked about the time specifically through the week that they might be able to go and participate or help out or visit. And so I'm going to provide those times, and I'll stick them at the back of the church, maybe on the bulletin board there. But if you're interested in coming, either just sitting in while we do the devotional with the folks there at the nursing home, maybe you want to play a musical instrument. I don't know if you know how to play the kazoo or the accordion, you know, whatever you like. We'll have you on board. And we just want to be able to utilize you folks as you are gifted to and as you want to. And so the times that we usually meet, I'll have that on a piece of paper. And I know that there's another group that meets out at on the Salisbury Road there, Grace Haven, right, and I always forget the name of it, under Pastor Jim and Nancy there, and there's a group that goes there all the time. So there is potential. And if you would say, and some of you have, so Pastor, let me know, I want to be a part of this. So I'm going to put that down on a piece of paper, put it at the back of the church. But essentially, it's Wednesdays, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. And those three different times represent three different nursing homes. And so there's opportunity there if you'd like to participate and sing a song, shake a few hands, just come and listen to the word and smile along with the folks. Whatever you feel like the Lord would have you to do, we'd love to have you. So keep that in mind. And then also there's other potentials as the Lord leads potential opportunities for ministry down the road. So just a couple of things there I wanted to mention. And then finally, September the 9th, the ladies are looking to, or some of the ladies have been discussing, I know my wife and Maria, about hosting a ladies' Bible study. And so they're looking at beginning that on September the 9th. And there'll be more information to come, but they're going to meet for the first time on that September the 9th at 6 p.m., I believe at Maria's. We don't know yet. More information to come, but something to keep in prayer. I don't want to confuse anybody with too many details, but there's a lot going on. We've got the men's breakfast that'll be coming up too, starting in September. So just continue to be in prayer. And we just want to serve the Lord and be a blessing to others and to one another. We're going to pray, and I want to pray for a couple things specifically this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help and His blessing. Father, even as we meet together this morning, we're so thankful, Father, for the things that we get to be involved with, the ministry. Lord, the service that You allow us to be a part of is such a privilege. And so we thank You for it. And even as we have heard from the announcements and have been praying about these last few weeks and months, we ask, Lord, that You would go before us in the weeks and months ahead as we think about grief share, as we think about a youth program, as we think about the men's breakfast and a ladies' Bible study, and even, Lord, as we think far ahead into Christmas, if You should tarry in cantatas and concerts. God, all of this that we are praying about, we just seek Your permission, we seek Your blessing, we seek Your leading on all of these things. We're careful, Lord, to go to You, to come to You even now, and to pray, Lord, that You would open the doors You want us to go through and close the doors that You don't. We pray, Lord, for Your blessing on this church and on these ministries. We pray, Lord, for Your blessing on each individual as we gather, as we worship You, as we try to grow in Your Word, and Lord, learn more about You. Father, just bless us. Give us a hunger, an appetite for Your Word and for righteousness, Lord, and then fill us up. Father, we're thinking today of those that are traveling. Give them journey's mercies. And those within our midst that are struggling with health issues, Father, please minister to those needs. We pray for them. And then we think specifically this morning of Norma's nephew, Dwayne. And Father, we just asked, even as was read in the card earlier, that You would send to this gentleman's bedside, Father, disciples of Christ. Lord, You're able to do this. We believe it completely this morning. And we're asking, Father, that You would just minister to this individual's needs spiritually as well as physically, that You would bring help and comfort, Lord, through Your Word, through the truth of the gospel, through the hope in Christ, and that, Lord, You would give the physicians wisdom and the family comfort there. Father, we also think today of the challenge that we find ourselves in here in this nation in regards to the dryness and the drought, the lack of rain that we've had this summer. So, Lord, we're thankful that You're in control of all of these things and that You bless us with the rain that falls, and we ask, Lord, that we might see some respite in the weather here soon. Keep, Lord, our province and others safe from fires, Lord. And we think of those that are dealing with it even right now up in the Miramichi, and ask God that You would minister to those needs, Father, and keep folks safe. So, Lord, we thank You that we can come to You about these things. And, Lord, as we look at Your Word now, we pray that You would increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, please. I mentioned we were going to do things just a little bit differently today, and what I mean by that is We're going to take a little break from Acts. We just started the missionary journeys of Paul there, not last week, but the week before. And we're going to get into that again next week, Lord willing. But this evening, we're going to be talking specifically about seven things about faith. And there's a lot there. I don't know if we're going to get through it all this evening or not, but I thought let's take a look at the topic beginning this morning. We've been working through Acts, and in the evening we do something different. But for today, I'd like to introduce the topic of faith. And then this evening, we'll look at seven specific things about faith. What I'm trying to do with this series is give us a little bit of a different perspective. Do you ever read a verse of Scripture, and you got a bit of a different perspective on it? Maybe you read it many times, and then all of a sudden it grabs you in a bit of a different way. And so that's what I'm hoping and praying to do as we look at some of these topics that we know well and others that maybe we don't as well, that we'll see it from a different perspective, that God will awaken within us a fresh appreciation and hunger for these different things like peace, like prayer, and like faith. And so we're going to take a little bit of a break from Acts, and we're going to start here in Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to read a verse just while you're turning to Hebrews. It's from Romans chapter 3, and it says this in verse 25. In a couple of minutes, we're going to break bread together, where time is flying. But in regards to the breaking of bread and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith, this little passage came to my mind starting in verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means all of us, every one of us, is short of the glory of God. That means every one of us is in trouble, and every one of us is in need of Christ, and Christ offers salvation to every one of us without exception. His grace is sufficient for all, and he calls on all men everywhere to repent, which tells us that we each are responsible to repent. And when we do, we can be saved. It says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Jesus Christ is the propitiation, and that word, another way to understand it, means payment. He paid the sin debt that we owe for us on our behalf. He is the payment, the propitiation for our sin. That means that I don't have to worry about my sin debt. If I put my faith in Christ, I can be forgiven and I can be saved. It says this again, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Faith in his blood. And we do, I hope today, that you can say, I'm trusting in the blood or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for my salvation. That you're not trusting in anything else, not yourself, not your own goodness, but you're trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone. The blood that was shed, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, that was the payment. And when he said, it is finished, he was saying essentially, it is paid in full. That's the receipt. And all we need to do is put our faith in Christ. I say all like it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. It's the greatest decision that can ever be made. It's the first miracle that we experience as Christians. Really, it's the miracle of being born again. And it's through faith in his blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. And so faith is the topic of the day. And I've been thinking a lot about it over the last few days, actually all this week and even prior to that, specifically for the time that we're going to take today talking about it. A couple of things I want to start with by way of introduction before we break bread is defining faith. What is faith? And we're going to start with a few things faith isn't. But first of all, a Christian's faith is not simply just something that we have or that we can practice from time to time. Faith is an accessory. You know, we live in a world that we like accessories. We have accessories with our cars and our cell phones and all kinds. We like accessories. But faith is not an accessory to the Christian life. Faith is the first step into the Christian life, but we proceed to walk in faith throughout the rest of our lives. And so the point is that faith is a bigger part of our lives as believers than sometimes we understand. I jotted down that faith is a lifestyle that we live. It's all about faith, and we'll get into that a little bit more. I jotted down also that as we grow in faith, we study the Bible, we read the verses of Scripture, we believe them, we practice them, we apply them, and we grow in our faith. And as we grow in our faith, we become more like Christ. And the beauty of that is the more like Christ we become, the more we pray, practice, and learn to be patient as we wait on the Lord, the more we grow in faith. The more we grow in faith, the more Christ-like we become. And the more Christ-like we become, the more we grow in faith. And so the two go hand in hand. To be a man or a woman of faith is to be Christ-like and vice versa. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want to start here just in verse 6, and it's to make this point. How important is faith, by the way? Think of that question for just a second. When you think about your Christian life and all that you do, going to church and reading your Bible and praying and you know, trying to keep your testimony and abstaining from those things that are evil and obeying God, how important is faith in the midst of all of that? Is it an accessory? Is it something that we can just add in from time to time? And well, today I'm going to be more faithful than I was yesterday. And you know, faith is absolutely necessary to live the Christian life. As I said, it's the first step that we take to become born again. Belief, trusting in Jesus Christ to be saved. In Hebrews chapter 11, here's how important it is. It says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, meaning God. This is how important faith is. You know, as Christians, we want to please the Lord God. Nothing thrills my heart more or motivates me, I don't think, more than the idea of either pleasing God or causing God grief. Those two things motivate me one way or another, to do better, to do right, to obey and to follow Him. The idea that I have somehow disappointed or brought grief to my God causes me to humble myself and to repent and to forsake sin and to say, Lord, help me do better and to try to grow in my faith. But likewise, the idea that I could somehow put a smile on the face of the Lord God Almighty because of some simple little act that He's privileged me to do is amazing. That I can please God at all. And any of us can. Think about that. That we can please God. That we can delight the heart of God like David who chased after the heart of God. And to me, that is a wonderful truth. But without faith, it's impossible to do that. You see, that's how important faith is to the Christian's life. It isn't an accessory. It isn't some kind of religious word that we know about, we read about from time to time, but we don't really understand. Oh, it is an intimate part of our lives as Christians. And we're going to see that, I believe, and hopefully be encouraged by that as we continue through this. But without faith, it is impossible to believe Him. Excuse me, to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is God, that He is the only one true living God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So in regards to our faith and how important it is absolutely necessary to have faith. We must understand that first and foremost. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's absolutely necessary to have faith. We'll get into how much is necessary. Because even in that, we see the grace and the goodness of God. But to begin with, we need to understand that faith is necessary. It is so important. I jotted down just a few things that faith isn't. Faith isn't an emotion. We know what emotions are. That's not faith. You don't ever wake. Sometimes I wake up tired. Sometimes I wake up, I had a, you know, a bad dream. I might wake up sad or discouraged. Or maybe I wake up giggling. Sometimes my wife dreams about me, and I hear her laughing in her sleep. And I say, you know. See, we wake up not feeling well, or we wake up well-rested. We wake up feeling this way or feeling that way. That's not faith. I wish I could wake up some days and feel, well, I'm really faithful today. But that's not how it works. Faith takes effort. It takes the Word of God. It takes prayer, the Spirit of God. It takes practice, patience, and prayer, all those things. Faith is not a naturally provided tool that we can enjoy, like, you know, serotonin or adrenaline. Faith is divine. Faith is something that God has allowed us to participate in and to enjoy and to benefit from. A couple things a little further. Faith isn't like making a wish or crossing your fingers. You know, sometimes I think the world gets that a little bit mixed up. That, you know, faith is kind of like making a wish. We sing that little song, When I Wish Upon a Star. But that's not what faith is. Faith isn't crossing your fingers. It's not even in that wheelhouse. It has nothing to do with coincidence or increasing your odds or bettering your chances or becoming lucky. That is as close as an unsaved individual can get to faith. You know, coincidences and odds for in general. But faith isn't that for the Christian. Faith isn't increasing your odds. It is something way, way better than that. And I think we understand that, but sometimes, at least in the world, we'll see a cheap version of grace. You know, keep the faith if you can. Good luck with that. No. That's not what God wants for us. Way better than that is the faith that God wants for us and that God offers to us. Faith isn't making a wish or crossing your fingers. Faith isn't optimism or having a positive attitude. That's not faith. It's a side effect of faith. If I have faith, if I'm being faith-filled, then I will be optimistic. I will have a positive attitude, or I should. If I'm trusting in the Lord God, if I'm leaving it with Him, if I'm walking in the Spirit, then I should have an attitude that is trusting and an attitude that is positive and a spirit that says, you know what, God is in control, and I believe Him. And so I'm not going to let the worries of this world dictate how I feel. I'm going to let my faith dictate how I feel. Faith isn't optimism, and it's not a positive attitude. If you have a positive attitude, wonderful, but that's not faith. Faith will create in you a positive attitude. It will create in you the optimism, the hope, because it's real, because we have a God that we're putting our faith in. I jotted down as well, and this is important. You know, faith forces our emotions, our fears, and our flesh to yield to it instead of vice versa. Because our emotions, if we're not careful, the flesh will force our faith to yield to it. In other words, my faith will sometimes hide behind my doubt. Here's the doubt up front. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think God heard us. And my faith is way back there somewhere. And my doubt is front and center, being the boss. And what I need to learn to do is grab doubt by the throat and throw it back there somewhere and say, faith, get up here. When anger, when doubt, when fear tries to take the podium of my heart and dictate how I react and how I respond, I'm doing it wrong. You see, faith is God's way, or one of the ways in which God will help us control how we react and respond to the challenges of life. And there's lots of examples in the Bible as to how that works. Daniel in the lion's den, and his attitude towards the king, and his attitude about being thrown in the lion's den, and his attitude about the decree that he shouldn't pray. It's just nothing but faith. He didn't seem bothered by it at all. I'm just going to have faith. We are liberated by faith. I have a term that I use, reckless faith. I love it because it seems irresponsible in some ways in the mind of some to trust God as much as we get to. I'm not going to worry about this disease. I'm not going to worry about this financial issue. I'm not going to worry about the state of the world. How? Why? Because God. Because faith. Well, you're irresponsible. That doesn't make sense. That's the privilege I get to have. I don't have to worry about it. The Bible gives us permission to cast these things at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm done trying to control these things. I'm just going to choose to have faith. And let my fear bow down to it. And let my doubt bow down to it. Let my flesh bow down to it. And that's the privilege we have as Christians. See, faith is so much more than just a little characteristic that comes in from time to time. It is a way in which we get to live our lives. In everything we do. And in everything we think. Faith isn't getting what you want if you've successfully hoped hard enough. Right? That's sort of the way the world describes it. If you hope, you know, it's if I sit up here and I just, I'm really trying to have faith. I should be careful doing that. Break a blood vessel. That's not faith. Faith isn't God saying, oh, you know, the thermometer of your faith is almost to the top. Boom, ding, 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 ding. You win the prize. Here's your reward. You did it. You just had enough faith. Man, that would be awful if that's what faith was. Now, we need to have faith. Let the man that doesn't have faith, don't let him think that he's going to have his prayers answered. He's unstable, double-minded in all his ways. We need faith, but not in the way we sometimes think. It's not a faith that comes from a physical effort, but a spiritual belief and understanding. Faith isn't speaking your wants into existence. The world has been fooled by that in a lot of ways. We hear the word manifest a lot. You manifest. If you think it, if you say it, then eventually you can make it happen. No, you can't. That's not faith. Yes, we need to have a positive attitude. Yes, we need to trust the Lord. But faith isn't speaking your will or your wants into existence. It's praying God's power into your presence. It's trusting Him. Star Trek. Any Star Trek fans here? I hate to bring up television. I know it's got a lot of problems. It's caused us a lot of issues. Nonetheless, I know there's a program called Star Trek. And I admit that I've watched it. And I remember, it's an old program, because you remember the replicator? I remember as a kid watching this thing, right? They walk anything they wanted. Like, beep, 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 you know, bowl of Jell-O. Beep, 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 a new hat. Beep, 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 a gun. It's like, man, I'd love to have one of those. And anything you want, you push a few buttons, boom, I get what I want. Boom, I get what I need. Whatever I choose. But that's not faith. Faith is not the replicator on the Star Trek. Let me give you some definitions now of what faith is, okay? Faith is the Christian discipline of unwaveringly believing who God is and what He says. That is one summary, one definition of faith. It's unwaveringly believing in who God is and what He says, because a lack of faith is the opposite of that. If I lack faith, it's because I'm either forgetting or I'm not believing who God is and what He said, because He's made some promises. And if I believe He is who He says He is, and I believe what He said, then those promises are solid, never changing. And this is the realm of faith. Jot it down in relation to Hebrews 11:1. Let's read that verse first, because in my opinion, this is the absolute best definition of faith. And I, you know, Merriam's, Webster's dictionary and Bible dictionaries and different commentators, and even try to come up with my own. You know, I want to really be able to put into words what this verse is saying, except in my own way. So let's look at the verse first. I love it. It says, now faith is, so we're getting a description, a biblical spirit-led description of what faith is. So we don't have to wonder if it's correct. We don't have to, you know, compare this with other versions or other ideas that might be better. This is the best, okay? Just so we're aware. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, the things that I hope for, the things that I pray about that are in the future, I already have. So what do you mean? You have it already? Yeah, what is it? It's right here. It's faith. Faith is the building blocks. It's the substance of the things that I'm hoping for. We already have what we're hoping for, what we're praying about, in the substance of what faith is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is the evidence that we have the things God wants for us, though we don't yet see it. We already have it, and it's through faith. And it's a supernatural truth that we're talking about. This isn't something that we can find in the world, though there's many counterfeits. Let me read one more definition here, and then we're going to read some verses in Hebrews before we break bread together. And I hope this doesn't confuse you. But this, in my mind, after, you know, praying about this and just trying to wrap my head around verse number one. Faith isn't the present hope of a future possibility. Okay? And I get we have hope, and we have real hope and true hope. But just listen to these words for a second. Faith isn't the present hope of a future possibility. It's the present assurance of a future reality. And that's the way that we need to understand faith. And that's what verse 1, at least in my mind, is teaching us. Faith is not a present hope of a future possibility. Maybe, again, if I hope hard enough, and in terms of God's will and Him hearing and answering our prayers, we know that He will. And He will only answer our prayers perfectly. So that tells me that our faith is a present assurance. It is fact of a future reality. It's as good as done. Heaven, we were just singing about it. Heard the lady singing about heaven. I don't have to hope. Oh, I hope I make it. What about your faith? Oh, yeah, my faith tells me I am as good as there, already seated in the heavenlies because I believe who God is and what he said. So my faith tells me that I am as good as there already. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, based on who God is and what he said, that I'm going to heaven. I don't have to hope. I don't have to wonder. I can have faith and I can know. And that's the difference between the coincidences and the better odds of the world and the actual faith of a believer. It's saying, I know because of who God is and what he said. And it's absolutely liberating. Faith isn't the present hope of a future possibility. It's the present assurance of a future reality. As we're going to close here, but I want to share one more thought before we read a few verses really quick. We are bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood that we were just talking about in Romans 3:25. Faith in his blood. That blood redeemed us, as we read also. It purchased us. He was the propitiation, the payment. We have been redeemed, bought back from judgment, bought back from separation from God, and we are now safe. The present hope of a future possibility has become a present assurance of a future reality. That doesn't mean just in regards to heaven, but also my day today and my day tomorrow. I can trust the Lord with every aspect of my life. And because I have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Paul taught, that I am not my own. We are not our own. You don't have ownership over yourself anymore. You don't. You are purchased by the Lord God. When we had ownership of ourselves, we were headed to hell, but God stepped in and provided a way for us to be saved, and he purchased us and now wants to use us for his glory. But that means every step I take and every breath I take is in some way, if I am yielded to him, according to his will. So now I don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. I don't have to be afraid of some challenge or some issue, because if God is in control of my life, he has allowed it for his purposes, to bring him glory, or to teach me to grow in my faith. So all of the scary things and the difficult things that come, we can get through them with faith, trusting the Lord God. Hebrews demonstrates this very clearly, just quickly. Many, many places in Scripture tell us how these patriarchs, how these Old Testament prophets and saints worked through the challenges that they had. It was by or through faith. Listen to this, just quickly. Verse 3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's no poof, evolution, big bang, poof, they just appear. No, God made them. The word of God framed these things. We understand that. How? Through faith. I believe what God said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By faith, Abel offered. Verse 4. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Just quickly, verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 29, by faith, Israel crossed the Red Sea. The walls of Jericho fell in verse 30. Rahab didn't perish, as it says in verse 31. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Japheth and of David and also of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And on and on and on. And as we close, verse 39 and 40, it says, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. Through faith. They received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us. That is, we're on the other side of the cross. We know Christ. That they without us should not be made perfect. Just as an introduction here this morning and this evening, we're going to look at seven specific things about faith. And I hope that you're able to join us. If you're not, please pick it up online because I think it'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement and a help. When we look at the practical ways that we can grow in our faith and utilize this absolutely necessary component of the Christian life, faith is not just a part of it. It is likely the biggest part of everything we do, think, and believe. It's because of faith. And the Lord wants us to have great faith. I'm going to pray and then we're going to break bread. Father, we thank you for your word here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for faith. And even as the disciples asked, Lord, we ask that you would increase our faith. Help us to understand it. Help us to grow in our faith. And Lord, we pray that even this evening as we continue to look at these things, that Father, in some way you would challenge, encourage our hearts, that you would teach us something new, something wonderful, something liberating about faith and about trusting in you. We ask for your blessing now as we break bread. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I'm going to ask if the man would take a minute and just distribute the bread and the wine. As they're doing that, I'm going to read something just by way of faith. The Bible says that the Christian is sanctified by faith, justified by faith, saved by faith, that he learns to walk in faith, live by faith, stand by faith, and that we become children of God by faith, specifically in Jesus Christ. The Bible also says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but that people today aren't listening to the word of God, which is why all men don't have the faith. Unfortunately, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you don't have faith, you don't have Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have hope. And that's, again, another way of understanding how important it is to have faith. This evening we'll visit the topic of faith again, but for now I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to break bread together. The Bible teaches us and commands us that as believers we gather together and we remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes back. It's always good to remember that. Until he come, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again to receive us unto himself. That where he is, there we may be also, the Bible says. Thank you, brother. So, as believers who've trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we gather together, we do so to remember that sacrifice he made for us that we could be saved. I want to read the passage here in Corinthians. Just bear with me a couple of more minutes. It says in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So we're remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We're proclaiming it amongst ourselves. We're saying to one another, hey, Christ died for us. We're saved because his body was broken. His blood was shed. Verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat that bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, that's a serious premise in that verse. And the idea is to drink or to eat of these emblems unworthily is to sit before the Lord's table unsaved, not being a Christian, not trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior. We remember Judas, who sat at the table with the disciples and the Lord during the last Passover and rebelled against Christ and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And that's a problem. Jesus Christ said it was better that that man never be born. And so when we sit before the Lord's table, we need to make sure that we are children of God. And the Bible tells us that when we trust in Jesus Christ, he forgives us and he saves us. When we submit our life to him, we become children of God. Repent, turn from our sins, turn from our own ideas about salvation, and believe what the Bible says. Believe the gospel. Christ died so that we could be saved when we trust in him. Just quickly, it says, let a man examine himself. And so we're going to take a minute to do exactly that. As Christians, if there's something in our lives that ought not to be there, then we can confess it. And we can be in a right relationship with God right now. And if you're here today and that's the case, we have a moment that we can talk to the Lord privately in our hearts. So we're just going to pray silently to ourselves, give God praise for his sacrifice, and we'll examine ourselves as well. Amen. When asked if Brother Gary Wilson would ask the blessing on the bread, please, this morning. Amen. In the words of Christ, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We understand, of course, that the bread and the wine, the juice, is symbolic of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed. There's nothing magic or special about these emblems. They're symbolic. The power is in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. But we remember that blood that was shed. It's faith in the blood, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. That's what saves us. And so we remember that sacrifice when the perfect Son of God died in our place. And I'm going to ask if Brother Larry, would you ask the blessing on the cup here this morning, please?
Father, again, thank you for this time together. We do thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for us, as your body was broken and also your blood was spilled. We know, Lord, that without the shedding of the blood, that we would not have any remission of our sins. We know, Lord, that what you did was to help us to be a better person. Mm. We just thank you and praise you for what you did. And we pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today,
amen. Again, in the words of Christ, it says in verse 25, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. All right. I appreciate your patience, church. And I know I went a couple of minutes over here this morning, but we're going to close now in a word of in a hymn, and then a word of prayer. Hymn number 299, Room at the Cross. 299 as we close. Let's stand together. I'm going to add here, just before we begin to sing, listen to the words as we work through this, the first and the last verse. But if you're here today and you might say, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't really understand what it means to trust in Jesus or to be forgiven or to be washed of my sins or to be saved. How do I know for sure? How can I know today that if I were to die, that I'm going to heaven? How do I have that faith? And if you're like that today, if that's you, please don't leave. I'd love to have a chat with you. I could pull you aside. We could pray together for a couple of minutes or make plans to do exactly that. But you can know for sure today that when you leave this world, you are safe, you are saved, that you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our prayer for one another. Let's sing 299, number verse 1 and verse 3, please. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter on which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. Father, we thank you for this truth, Lord, that any one of us and all of us can be saved. There's room, Lord, for everyone. Pray, God, that you would bless us as we leave here today. Help us to continue to meditate and think about these things from your word today, about faith, Lord, and we pray that you would bring us safely to your house again. In Christ's name we ask, amen. All right, thank you, folks.